Yeah, boy, it's the Surround Sound Podcast, baby.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the latest edition of the Surround Sound Podcast. I am your host, R. Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. I hope everybody is getting into position for the solar eclipse that'll be happening on April the 8th. That's right, you got 6 days to get in position, or just to get in position to your TV screen. It'll be on, every news outlet ever, you know, just because it is another solar eclipse that'll be happening across the United States. I'm in Nashville. I was truly in line of totality. Like, it was crazy. You start hearing crickets and everything, and like all the nighttime type of sights and sounds. It happened like for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then it goes back to daytime. It's crazy. Nonetheless, the cities, or maybe the states that are in the way of totality, are Texas, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, a small piece of western Tennessee. And yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy just for those few minutes. On this week's show, we got the owner of Punches and Bunches. I finally got him back on the show. Tremaine Cook of Punches and Bunches. We'll be talking. This will be a complete boxing breakdown of the Paul versus Tyson fight. Of course, we're going to relive like the aftermath of the Anthony Joshua in Ngannou fight. We're just going to talk boxing. It's going to be dope. Like, we're really going to get into it. So if you downloaded this, you can, of course you downloaded this, you can go to all the other, like, social media and you'll be able to view it, because it's definitely some things that you'll be wanting to see in regard to the breakdown of the Paul versus Tyson fight that'll be going down in late July at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. But yeah, it's going to be crazy. I can't wait for that. Be coming up in a few minutes. In a few minutes. So, without further ado,
this is an Odyssey beat.
All right. You know what that sound means. It's time for the fabulous 4 plus 1 more, where I give you 4 of the hottest takes, 4 of the hottest joints of the week, and then I give you one more just because. Well, is your bracket shot? Guess what? Mine is shot, but it ain't all the way shot. As far as the men's and women's final four, I have 3 teams left. I picked UConn for both the men and women in regard to getting to the final four. Yeah, I did that. I did that. And then I picked South Carolina in my women's bracket. Like, so that's my 3rd team. So it's UConn men. Like, and then I picked, both UConn's men and South Carolina women to win the whole thing. So I'm still in the running. My 2 picks are still in the running. So it's a good day. Yeah, it's a good day right there. Also, in news on the women's front. Okay, so first of all, the 2 games this week, Elite 8 games, with LSU versus Iowa and UConn versus USC. This is what I've been waiting for 2 weeks. If you guys remember, for 2 weeks I've been talking about this. For 2 weeks I'm like, hey, when we get Elite 8 on down, it's just going to be like stellar basketball. And those 2 games lived up to the hype. Real talk. And I can't wait for the Final Four, because we got Iowa and Caitlin Clark versus UConn and Paige Beckers, you know, like, it's going to be nice. And then you got UConn and NC State. Can the Cinderella, you know, continue? David and Goliath, or should I say Davisha and Goliatha, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be dope. So we're going to see, can South Carolina and either UConn or South Carolina and Iowa. I'm going South Carolina versus Iowa, and they win the Natty undefeated. Ugh, it's going to be crazy. And then on the men's side, I got UConn. Okay, so it's UConn. It's also NC State. Who else we got? Who else we got on that side of the bracket? Where paperwork? Okay, so UConn, NC State. UConn, NC State, Purdue. UConn, NC State, Purdue. Alabama. I still pick UConn. I don't know anyone. I mean, men's basketball is just what Shaquille O'Neal said. It's, yeah. It ain't, you know, it's good, I guess. You know, we learned a new team at NC State. We all like Burns because he's a big guy that's nimble. Purdue, I didn't want to win. I wanted Dalton Connect, of course. But, hey, it is what it is. UConn and South Carolina both win. I'll be happy at the end of the day. Number two, it's golf season. The Masters is next week, and we'll have Golf Pro from Pillow Springs Golf Course, Rick Zaxby on the show to talk golf, the Masters, Live, PGA. Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be nice. Finally get Mr. Rick Zaxby on the show. Also, we're gonna talk a little baseball. We're gonna talk about his Detroit Tigers as well. Number three on the Fabulous 4+1 Mo. NHL. The Preds have climbed to the sixth seed. Last couple times that we talked about the Preds were in the eighth and ninth slot, and they were teeter-tottering. Now the boys are 7-2-1 in the last 10, and they're in the sixth seed. They've been playing some hockey in March. Last of February and in all of March, they've been playing top-tier hockey. Good job by the Nashville Predators. Coming up in the entertainment report, the Neptunes are not seeing eye to eye. They are not in the same galaxy. See what I did there? You're welcome. BG is in the news and Schoolboy Q, all coming up on the entertainment report. Number four in the Fabulous 4+1 Mo, Major League Baseball. Of course, we'll cover our usual four teams. That's the Cubs, the White Sox, the Braves, and the Tigers. And we'll also, of course, keep an eye on Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, of course, we'll check out the hometown team, the Nashville Sounds. Also, yeah, and Vanderbilt, too. Vanderbilt, big shout-out to Vanderbilt. They rocked the Nashville Stars uniforms a couple of weeks ago. And that's, you know, that's dope because Nashville Stars is thought to be in the running, or better yet, Nashville is thought to be in the running for a Major League Baseball team. So that's definitely cool. That'll be a tough task to cover all of those baseball teams, but it's all good. And speaking of tough task or tough fights, it means it's time for the one mo. And the one mo usually comes from the political front. Most times it's solely from President Biden. Uncle Joe, Stimmy, 46, a.k.a. Cocaine Wayne, as people are calling him. Mostly the people that call him Cocaine Wayne are always me. Nonetheless, so Joe, if you know, if you hear Cocaine Wayne, Joe, then I'm sure you'll be able to, yeah, exactly. Nonetheless, this comes from our ex, yeah. I'm going to talk about exes later on in the show. The sign of the time for today is Love TKO. So it's funny how an ex will always have something to say or always something going on. Well, our ex, former President Donald Trump, and his co-defendants have secured $175 million bond in their New York civil fraud case. And this is according to a court filing that was obtained by ABCNews.com. Okay, so let's break that down. Former President Trump and his co-defendants. Who are his co-defendants? His sons and former executives that work with Trump in various business dealings. All right? So Trump secured the bond through Knight Specialty Insurance Company, which is owned by the privately held Hanke Group. Now, this is wild because Mr. Hankey, first of all, that is actually his name. But Mr. Hankey of Knight Insurance says, we were able to accommodate the ex-president in this situation. Now, most times it's strictly business, but I happen to be a supporter also. So if this, okay, so read between the lines, people. This dude is going to get some major, major, like, situation with Donald Trump if he gets elected president. Like, he's going to get some major because he helped him out. Like, now, the thing about it is, I don't think this is something that's new or was new or will be new to the Trump presidency. I think president's been doing this for years. But the fact that we know who, like, Donald Trump shows us who he is. It's crazy. It's crazy. Nonetheless, the article on ABCnews.com went on to say that Hankey said that this company was initially involved in talks to underwrite the original $464 million bond in the case. However, when the New York appellate court last week reduced the amount to $175 million, Hankey and the boys or and the girls or whomever, they were able to take care of that good business for the former president. We'll be back with more on the Surround Sound podcast. We got the entertainment report coming up next. And then directly after that, we got our expose, our boxing breakdown with Punishing Bunches owner, Mr. Tremaine Cook. We'll be back with more on the Surround Sound podcast. All music having to do with boxing.
Come on, man.
Knocking us out. You know what the DBC
news. Up next on the Surround Sound podcast, enjoy the Surround Sound double play.
I do. Lock in to the show, Doing It for the Culture, the Surround Sound Podcast.
One night about 8, and we were watching a couple of Mike Tyson fight tapes. Jeff was like,
man, you see how hard Mike's punching?
Come on, Jeff, the other guy was just lunging. Left, right, another KO. Ooh. If that was me, I'd have been okay, though. The very next day, I gave Russell a ring with JL and Lior, and we all called Don King. I said, yeah, Don, I got a problem.
Tell him, Prince.
Yeah, what's up? What you saying? You trying to solve him? Forget the small talk. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Me and Mike, 2 months. Trump, Atlantic City.
Yo, you got this. You gonna bust dude up.
Yeah, you can be my trainer.
Word up?
I'm rough like a freight train, smooth like ice. And yo, Jeff, straight up, I think I can beat Mike Tyson.
Man, you can beat him, man.
Oh, man, word.
You can beat him, man.
You know, I put on a couple pounds, man. We can do this,
you can,
man.
Do it.
Conference to see what training I was doing. Before then, I'd never heard reporters booing, cameras flashing, I was in the middle. I didn't want to look dumb, so I exaggerated a little. I said, I've been training 20 hours a day, lifting big old cars and big bales of hay. And I jog 10,000 miles every morning, thinking about Mike and my moment of glory. I drink water, 20 gallons of pop, and I can throw a Volkswagen a whole half block. And 4 million sit-ups in a minute. I ain't lying, I did it. The general public thought I was a fool. I was getting dissed, but I guess that was cool. Well, you know, getting dissed is never good, but I was even getting dissed in my own neighborhood. I was at the corner at the top of my block. There was a couple of people standing outside of the barbershop. It was Lawrence, my barber and friend, and he yelled out,
"Hey, you can win."
I said, "Really?" And I stopped the chat.
"You can beat him, man, if you hit him with a bat. You gon' get wet, but you can have your shoes when you break your neck."
Everybody was laughing out loud. I thought at least my own grandma would be proud. I went to her house and snuck in and surprised her. I heard her on the phone. It's fight day, and man, am I hype. Whoa, I can't wait to see Mike. Boy, I'm hype, ready to do my thing. Trump Castle Casino.
In this world.
Slipping and dipping, hustling and jabbing. For a second, I look good out there, but then Mike brought to reality my worst nightmare. One punch, that's all it took. He hit me in my ribs and my inside shook. Now how can I say this and be a little discreet? Let's just say that my bowels released. I called time out and went back to my corner. Said to my coach, ain't no way I'm going to hell back out there, man. You can't forget it. My body's like a punching bag and Mike is gonna
hit it.
They tried to make me go meet my doom, but I sucker punched my coach and hauled to my dressing room. The next day, the headline in the town, Fresh Prince breaks camp, Tyson wins first round. Some fool asked why I ran away. I said, a good run is better than a bad stand any day. My career is over as far as fighting, but I don't know what made me think I could beat Mike Tyson.
You know, I can't see what possessed you to want to fight Mike Tyson.
I don't know, man. You know, I was watching the tapes, man. I just got hyped, man. You know,
but see, by me being your trainer,
yeah.
I watched you fight, and I watched the tapes with you.
Yeah.
And by me putting your fight and the tapes together,
yeah.
I really, in my heart, think I'm ready to fight Mike Tyson. I think
Jeff,
I can beat
Jeff,
him.
Jeff. Nobody can beat Mike Tyson.
No. See, you, when you were saying you were slipping and dipping and sliding, you should have been sliding, slipping, and then dipping.
Oh, the other way.
I was training. I threw an uppercut, and
right,
then I
Jeff,
dipped.
Jeff,
I threw a right
Jeff,
cross, right,
that's
and
it.
I was slipping,
this record
sliding,
is over.
Dipping.
The record
I was
is over.
Popping, and I was
stop
doing
the
a shuffle,
stop.
And I was
the
uppercut and a left cross. I can beat
Jeff is losing
I really
it.
Think I can beat
it. He's losing it.
Because you were dipping and slipping and sliding, and I should have been sliding, slipping, and dipping.
Medic,
I
could beat him.
Welcome back to the Surround Sound Podcast. I am your host, of course, Al Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. This is the entertainment section. On this week's show, in just a moment, we're going to get to the Neptunes and how they may not necessarily be seeing eye to eye. They may not even be in the same galaxy. BG and his CO, and of course, Schoolboy Q. And something that Schoolboy Q is doing right now and has been doing for the last 5 years relates to our show on next week. But first, as we always like to do, celebrity sports birthdays, anniversaries, and or deaths. Unfortunately, when it comes to those that have passed on, it's more than a few that we have. We have three, to be exact. We have Jennifer Leake. She is an actress of the 60s and 70s. Then we have Lou Gossett Jr., the first black man to ever win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. Yeah, he won that for Roots. Yeah, Lou Gossett Jr. He was definitely a great actor. Then we have Vontae Davis. This 35-year-old passed away this past Monday. He is the brother of former San Francisco 49ers tight end Vernon Davis. Mr. Vontae Davis, he played football for the University of Illinois. He passed away in his South Florida home at the tender age of 35. Our hearts, minds, thoughts, and prayers go to the Leake, Gossett, and Davis family. Ecclesiastes 3 and Matthew 5:45. When it comes to duos, the Neptunes are one of the illest. I'm talking about, I remember going to Target, buying the CD back in the day when CDs were still around, and purchasing the Neptunes. This album was basically a compilation, and it showcased their production. I'm talking about these dudes, two of the best when it comes to production. Well, all is not right in their world. It was first reported by Billboard that attorneys for Hugo had accused Williams of fraudulently seeking sole control over the Neptunes trademark, which they claim is a violation of their agreement to splitting everything equally. Now, up until this, for the last 30 years, everything has in fact been split equally, and that is according to Hugo's attorney, Kenneth D. Fuenluck. He also went on to say that brother Pharrell Williams is in some way like blindsided by this happening. And in a statement provided to Variety, a rep for Pharrell also said that we have reached out on multiple occasions to share in the ownership and administration of the trademark and will continue to do so. So I don't know. It could be just something as simple as a mistake or something as simple as, you know, well, we thought that we was good, or it could be something even more crucial. Regardless, though, you would think that these two dudes that have been rocking for 30 years, like Chad would have been like, just, hey, bro, so what's up with the what's up on the trademarks? And, yeah, apparently that did not happen. One thing we can say, and this, of course, comes courtesy of Variety as well, at the center of the dispute are three applications to register the name the Neptunes as a trademark, one covering for streaming music, another for music video and content, and a third for live performances. So it seems like those things had to be done or someone else was going to get the money. So everything could be okay as long as Pharrell shares in that, in those dollars. Well, speaking of rap, BG. Okay, so a little while ago, BG got out. Right. Near the end of last year, end of the third quarter of 2023, BG get out of jail. And he had some stipulations to him getting out of jail. right? He was on probation. And most time when it comes to probation, and if you're, of course, a felon, then you can't go around other felons. You can't go out of state, can't go out of the country, things of that sort. Now, I say this. I'm not a felon, but I know, or better, I won't say I know. It makes sense from what I've heard in regard to everything surrounding probation that there are certain things that you can't do. Like that's just what it is. So with that being said, you would have thought that either A, BG would have known better, or B, his counsel would have hipped him to these things that he can and cannot do because they know their client is a rapper. And they know the climate of rap right now. You would have thought somebody would have said or would have known. But it is said, courtesy of RollingStone.com, that The Guardian reported that the rapper born Christopher Dorsey was arrested earlier this month in Las Vegas, where he resides, for a series of probation violations related to his 3-year supervised release, including appearing alongside fellow rapper and known felon, Boosie Badass, and Gucci Mane. I don't know, folks. On one hand, I see it as like BG, why, like, you should have known better. And not only should you have personally known better, somebody in your circle, in your council, should have said something. That's on one hand. On the other hand, the provisions that are put in place, or the better yet, the stipulations that were put in place in regard to his probation, it's like, well, you know what this dude does for a living. This is literally his living, where he eats off of. Why are we putting those certain provisions, stipulations in regard to him being on probation? That's just an interesting thing to me. You would think somebody would have said something to somebody and just, you know. Because the dude got to go on tour. Like, that's how rappers truly make their money, by going on tour. I don't know. I don't know, though. It's wild to me. I'll just leave it at that. It's wild. It's one of the wild things to me. Moving on. Schoolboy Q is in the news, and he is in the news in relationship to golf. Schoolboy Q took five-year hiatus. He's been on a 5-year hiatus. And one of his main reasons for being able to take off so long is because he has been getting a lot of money in the golf realm. It has come as no secret, and this is courtesy of uprock.com, it is no secret that Schoolboy Q loves golf. He talked before about how the sport helped him learn more about himself and as a person. I believe that, because there's one thing about golf. If you play golf, you're going to get mad. And if you play golf and you're going to get upset. So the thing about golf is you have to relax. It's the weirdest sport, because you have to do the opposite of what every other sport has taught you. In football, in baseball, in basketball, in hockey, in soccer, every sport I know of, you're taught to go hard. Like, you're taught to go like full tilt all the way. And in golf, you're taught to relax and let the club do the work and just relax. And hey, we'll have more on golf next week with golf pro of Pillow Castle, Mr. Rick Zaxby. That's right, Rick Zaxby, senior of Pillow Castle Golf Club down there in Columbia, Tennessee. He'll be on the show. He'll be talking about everything that has to do with the Masters, everything that has to do with LIV and in the PGA, and just all around, you know, golf etiquette. We're gonna get into some golf etiquette. How about that? Also, I'm gonna sneak a question in. Don't tell him I'm gonna sneak a question in. We'll be back with more of the Surround Sound Podcast right here.
From Teddy P to Tupac, from Cameo to Kool Moe Dee, we about to take it back.
Looking back over my years, I guess I shed some tears. I told myself time and time again, this time I'm gonna win. But another fight, things ain't right, I'm losing again. Takes a fool to lose twice, start all over again. Think I better let it go. Looks like another love TKO. Oh, think I better let it go. What you think about it, girl?
Looks like another love.
Oh, yeah. Try to take control of the love, but love took control of me. Cause I lose all thought, sense of time, and have a change of mind. Taking the bumps and the bruises of all the things of a two-time age. Trying to hold on, but faith is gone. It's just another sad song. I think I better let it go. What you say about it? Looks like another love TKO. Oh, yes, I think I better let it go.
Let it go, baby.
Oh, baby.
Looks like another love TKO.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor and the 411, keep it locked to the Surround Sound Podcast.
Big shout out to everybody on Facebook Live, everybody on YouTube Live, that's right, YouTube Live and Instagram Live. So wherever you are, I appreciate you for hanging out with us for just a moment. In just a second, we're going to bring on the owner of Punches and Bunches, Mr. Tremaine Cook. He'll be on with us. We'll talk. We're going to talk some boxing. We're going to get into the boxing breakdown of Paul versus Tyson that'll be coming up on July the 28th, live from AT&T Stadium. That's right, Jerry World in Dallas, Texas. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. And before we get to that, we're going to talk about a couple of things. On next week's show, we have Golf Pro of Pillow Castle Golf Club in Columbia, Tennessee. Mr. Rick Zaxby, he'll be on. He'll be hanging out with us for a moment. We'll be talking about the Masters. The Masters is coming up next week, and we'll definitely get into that and all the things that, come along with it. What else? Last week, we had just a stellar time with our guest, Crystal Wadlington. She's an illustrator out of Kansas City, Missouri. She has an awesome set of coloring books that are designed to give our young kids, those 2 to 10, a much better thought process on African-American history. So that was a dope show as well. Make sure you check that out. And then we're going to get into things with our guest today in just a moment. And then, of course, we got next week as well. I'm looking forward to it. Going to talk with Rick Zaxby, the golf pro. Going to get into – we're also going to talk some baseball. He's a big, big Detroit Tigers fan. And, of course, I'm a huge Chicago fan, like both teams, and Atlanta Braves fan. So we're going to see what all of that has to do. So, once again, this week, Punches and Bunches owner Tremaine Cook. We're going to get into the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight, and we're going to also talk about the Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou fight that happened in early March. The way this Diddy thing is going down, looks like possibly we're going to have 50 Cent versus Stevie J. Another story for another day. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and bring on our guest, Mr. Tremaine Cook. He's going to be coming live from Punches and Bunches. That's right, at 1034, at 1034 3rd Avenue South, right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's see if we can bring Tremaine on in. Dun, 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 dun. What's going on, Big Game Tremaine? What's happening, Playboy?
How you doing, big guy?
Hey, man, I am absolutely awesome, man. Some good things are happening at Punches and Bunches.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get to that in a second. But after that, we're going to definitely get into the boxing breakdown of Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. I want to hear, just in the infancy, of course, who you think is going to win. But we want to see, like, what the offense and defense is going to look like, because this one guy is an infant and one guy is elderly in the world of boxing right now.
Right, right, right.
First, you have some good things happening with the youth of Nashville. Like, if a child wants to come and learn more about boxing, what you guys got going on here in the little time that we have left in school and in the summer?
So right now we got a program called Counterpunch Youth Academy. And what that is we work with kids, where young people ages 20 and younger. We teach them the art of boxing, whether that's at our gym, or we actually have a few relationships with a couple of local schools around town where we bring our programs inside of those schools, or even inside of those nonprofit organizations. And we pretty much set up shop, teach them what they will learn at the gym. And we also give them an opportunity to get a membership at our gym at those partner schools that we work with.
That's awesome, bro. Okay, so is this strictly something to get the youth in the boxing, the sport of boxing, or can they also learn some, you know, self-defense type of training as well?
It's a combination of both. So the way we do it at the schools is a non-contact form. So we're not necessarily trying to get them to be boxers per se, but we're teaching them how to box, do a boxing workout. If they want to make contact or like move forward and compete, then that's when we offer them the invitation to come here locally at our gym or whatnot.
awesome. That's awesome right there. You actually servicing the community right there. That's truly, truly dope, Tremaine. Okay, so what if, let's say, that child's parent or parents wanted to do something similar or do the same? Do we have adult classes or anything like that going on at the gym? Yeah.
Most definitely. We service the whole family. So that can be mom, dad, auntie, grandmother, grandfather. Like, we have a program a week. We offer those sessions, like in group, small group sessions. It could be 2 to 6 people in the group, or we do one-on-one training for those individuals who may want like a more direct workout plan, or like they may want to lose weight, gain weight, learn self-defense, or things like that, where they want something more prescribed to them. We have one-on-one sessions for those adults as well.
That's awesome right there, my brother. Okay, where can we go to learn more information? We know we're in a technological world, so do we have like websites or anything for the Youth Academy and for Punches and Bunches?
Yes, sir. So we got 2 different websites. We got one for the youth, it's counterpunchyouthacademy.org. And then for Punches and Bunches side, for the adults, we have, it's called www.pnbboxing.com. And you can go to our social media handles. It's PNB Boxing on Facebook and Instagram.
Excellent. Excellent. That's cool right there. Okay. So in this, what I like to call post Floyd Mayweather Jr. Boxing arena that we're in right now, or part of the history that we're in right now, the heavyweight division is not what it used to be.
Right.
And the last, I would say, big fight, I won't even call it a mega fight, the last big fight we had was, I mean, now we're having to go to the UFC side and like poach some of their bigger names. Regardless of how we feel about it, the last big fight was Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. Now, the reason this fight even makes sense in my estimation is because Francis fought Fury, and many thought that fight, you know, could have went to Francis, could have went to Ngannou. Now, this last fight, and I want you to also talk about the fight as well, because it was very short, so I'm sure you have some things to say, but it was like 3 right hands by Joshua, and that was the fight.
Yeah, pretty much.
What else do you feel in reference to the fight? Because I'm hearing things that he has some, he's had, well, he being Francis Ngannou, has had some excuses in regard to the fight.
Yeah. I believe that, like, some of the excuses I heard was he felt dehydrated. He was tired. He felt sleepy in the locker room or whatnot. But to be honest, like, nothing against the MMA fighters. They train hard and everything, but it's just a different realm when you step into the boxing ring with boxing rules, with boxing gloves. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a different type of situation versus a boxer stepping into a cage. So I believe on that particular night, he just ran into the better man at boxing. Like, Anthony Joshua was a world heavyweight champion, and I believe that if Fury would have trained the proper way, he probably would have did him the same way, just to be honest.
Do you think Fury possibly took Ngannou lightly?
Of course. I believe he thought that he can just kind of walk through. I don't think that he thought Ngannou was going to train as hard as he did for that particular fight. So I do think that he kind of overlooked him or whatnot.
Woo! The lineal heavyweight champion of the world possibly looked over Mr. Francis Ngannou. Once again, we're here with the owner of Punches and Bunches, Mr. Tremaine Cook. Make sure you head down to 1034 3rd Avenue South and check out the Punches and Bunches gym. Okay, so getting back to what you just said, as far as Ngannou's excuses, the last thing that I've heard is that he got to the arena too early, which was weird to me.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so of course, in any sport, you have a time allotted for warm-up, you know, basketball, football, stretching, whatever, what have you. Now, in a sport that is as singular as boxing, or even MMA, is it out of the realm of possibility that a fighter knows whatever their warm-up routine is and would have followed that?
Yeah, but it is. But at the same time, sometimes things do happen behind the scenes that a lot of people don't speak on. It's possible that he did show up a little early, or something else could have happened in the process of him doing that could have changed the whole trajectory of his particular warm-up routine. So that is a possibility.
Well, what I'm seeing here from sportsbible.com, he has been said that he got an email and he was scheduled to be some 2 hours prior to when he was supposed to be there. However, mm-hmm. Joshua got there an hour or so before. It was still strange to me. He's from Cameroon. Joshua is from the UK, United Kingdom. They fought in Saudi Arabia on March 9th. Like I said, it was a second round knockout and three right hands. It couldn't have been the three right hands that defeated them all.
Nah, it couldn't have been the right hands, but those are the ones that touched that chin, though.
Yes, definitely touched that chin. Okay. That was the undercard. Now for the main event. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Mm-hmm. Now, in the tail of the tape, I think this particular thing in the tail of the tape is where we really going to see, or better yet, what we really want to know in regard to this fight. Are the 58 fights that Tyson has been through and plus 48 that he has over Paul versus Paul's minus 30 years of life. You know, this is the tale of the tape. Yeah, height, reach, and all that. Yeah, that and weight, that's all to come. But that's what we really want to see. So you're at the gym now. Can you possibly give us some, like, offense and defense, you know, dealing with Jake Paul first and then with Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I can.
What should we be looking for?
So I got two of my guys here. That you want me to have them demonstrated, or how did you want me to do it?
That'd be fine. You can narrate it from there, and then just they can actually demonstrate what's going on.
Okay. So let me see that. So right here I got Jay, and I got Ryan right here. So Ryan, okay. He's going to be Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And Jay, you're going to be Jake Paul. So Jake Paul, I think he's a little bit taller than Mike Tyson. So what we're going to do is get in our boxing stance. So with Jake Paul.
I'm sorry, man. You cut out just for a second there. Could you reiterate what you just said, please?
Yeah.
After who you introduced, like, that part got a little choppy.
Okay. So, yeah, I got Jay. So right here, Ryan in the black, he's Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And I got Jay. He'll be Jake Paul.
Hey, bro.
Excellent.
Yeah. So Jake Paul's he's a little taller than Mike Tyson from the stats, uh-huh. from what I've seen. So the keys for Jake Paul to win, from my opinion, is I think that Jake Paul is going to have to use his jab and fight long. So if Mike Tyson's trying to do his little bob and weave thing where he's going side to side, Jake Paul has to keep a jab in his face. And what Jake Paul is known for is what he knocks people out with is overhand right hand. So he'll throw that overhand to the temple, bam, catch Mike Tyson coming in, and I believe he can drop him, but he'll have to do that as the fight goes on. Like, I don't think he'll be able to do that in rounds 1 through 4. I think they're fighting maybe 10 two-minute rounds, if I'm not mistaken. So, and they got on 16-ounce gloves from what I've heard, but I don't know for sure. So that can play a big part, too.
Okay, speak to that real quick. Them having 16-ounce gloves to a novice that is checking in with us, what would that matter? Like, of course, usually it's three-minute rounds, but
right.
The 16-ounce gloves, speak to that real quick.
So 16-ounce gloves are what we use to spar with at the gym, like with headgear on and things like that. So it's a little heavier, and it has more padding on it. So when you fight in 8-ounce gloves, my bad. So when you fight in an actual pro fight, it's 8-ounce gloves, so they're smaller, and you feel more of the knuckles when you hit somebody with them.
Ooh-wee. So okay.
The 16s hurt, too, but they got more. It's like pillows on them a little bit, so.
All right. Okay, so offensively, we know what Jake Paul is going to have to do. He's going to have to extend. He's going to have to use that reach. He's 6'1". Mike Tyson is 5'10". That's, you know, roughly three inches.
Right.
Now, Mike Tyson is quick. He's going to get inside. So how would Jake Paul defend himself from a accelerating and aggressive Mike Tyson?
So if Mike Tyson was coming in, we'll use that area. He'll have to use his legs. So he'll have to keep moving around, moving in, moving out, kind of add what we call feints. So he'll have to keep moving. So he's going to have to really have his endurance up for this particular fight to use his legs. So he's going to get touched for sure. But the key to Jake Paul's defense is he's going to have to keep his legs moving and make sure that he has his hands up high to be able to withstand some of those wild hooks that Mike Tyson might be. They're not really wild, but they'll be coming around his guard, possibly hitting him in the ear or the temple or whatnot.
Definitely vicious punches for Mike Tyson.
They are vicious.
Okay. Now, let's swap up. What should we look at offensively for Mike Tyson? Like you just said, Mike Tyson is shorter, so he's right. going to have to get inside of Jake Paul to actually, you know, possibly win this fight. So what should we be looking at offensively from Mike Tyson?
I believe that Mike Tyson, he's going to really just have to be himself. Of course, he can't be the old Iron Mike, but he still got it inside of him somewhere. He's a little older now. So, but he still has those heavy hands. And what they say, as you get older, the last thing to go is your power. So
right.
I believe that if Mike Tyson was moving side to side, kind of aggressive, and he can get past Jake Paul's long arms, touch his body, he'll have to touch his body, and then come right back up top with those hooks and those uppercuts to put him out. He's going to have to get in there, because Jake, he's going to get hit. Like, that's a part of the game. He's going to land that hammer on him, but Jake Paul will have to move them legs. But Mike Tyson, if he gets on the inside, touches his body like he usually does and works his way up top, I believe it'll be a short night.
It's gonna be short. Somebody say think it's gonna be short.
Okay.
I'm sure like you or like me and like anybody that is watching has seen Mike Tyson's his pre-fight workouts. You know, the dude still looks fast. How do you think speed might come into play as far as offensively for Mike Tyson?
I believe if he can display that speed for at least half the fight like he did with Roy Jones, he should be okay. But the only thing is like everybody's fast until they're not fast. Like,
amen.
You can be speedy, good head movement, but once them lungs start to kick in and you know it's Father Time is undefeated. So
that's cool. Yeah.
I mean, once them legs start to go, then that's when he could possibly decline and it could be a long night for Mike. So I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I don't believe it'll go that way, but only time will tell for that particular situation.
Excellent. July 28th, we'll be looking at the fight date at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, down there in Dallas. All right, so lastly, before we let you get out of here, Tremaine, defensively, what would Mike need to do to secure a victory on the defensive end?
So with Mike, he was known for his moving side to side. So what he'll have to do is he had to keep his hands up high and keep moving side to side and kind of roll Jake Paul's punches. Had to get around him, keep his guard high. And Jake likes to throw that overhand right. So all he has to do is keep his hands up high to protect that overhand right, pretty much. But he'll have to keep his head on the swivel pretty much.
Okay, dude. I can dig it, man. Hey. Big shout out to our mock Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, man. We appreciate you guys. No doubt. Real quick, as we wrap up, Tremaine, tell us again where the youth of Nashville can go to check out the Youth Academy, and where the adults, if they just want to train, do a different, you know, training or something like that, tell us where we can go.
All right. So for the youth, they can go to counterpunchyouth.org, that's ORG, and for the adults, they can go to pnbboxing.com. That's for the adult schedule, and they can follow us on all of our social media outlets. It's pnbboxing, and they'll be able to find everything about our youth and our adults on that particular social media.
Okay, so I got to throw this curveball in there. When I came to the gym, we were working. It seemed like you guys were working on a documentary. Do we got any what exclusive can you give me on that? I need some exclusives on that.
Yeah, from what I can tell, it's still a work in progress, but it'll be breaking down like the formation of when we first started this particular location back in 2019 and how we built it from the ground up with no assistance or anything like that. And more so speaking on the aspects of how we built up our youth program and how we saved over 10,000 lives since we've been actually doing our youth program. We got data to prove it as well.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, Tremaine, man, big shout out to you. Big shout out to Punches and Bunches, man. We're going to get to you next time on the Surround Sound Podcast, my brother.
I appreciate it, big guy.
People don't use our music to get high. They use our music to get by.
Right. Broke niggas stand to the left. To the left. My rich niggas stand to the right. Take it right. Lil' mama, she keep looking at me. I'ma knock the pussy out like fight night. Hit it with a left, hit it with a right. I'ma knock the pussy out like fight night. Beat it with a left, hit it with the right. I'ma knock the pussy out like fight night. If you know me, know this ain't my first way. Certified everywhere, ain't got a printed resume. Take out LA.
See, now one thing I really, really love about the project is how you shining. Like, I feel like not like, of course you were shining before, but I feel like you was dancing on this one.
Yeah.
I felt like you was crazy. Like, yo, I felt like it was like it was always your time. It was your time to prove it. Is that something you had in your mind when you was going in recording?
Oh, for sure. Okay. You know what I mean, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm chill. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Laid back, but mm-hmm. It's time to pop it. You know what I mean? I mean, time to give me my flowers. You know what I mean? Right. I don't want them later on when I ain't here.
God damn it.
You know what I mean? I want them right
God
now.
Damn.
So.
Give me
Surround Sound Podcast, news for the hip-hop generation.
This is the last segment of the Surround Sound Podcast. It is called The Sign of the Times. This week's subject, it's called Love TKO. But before we get to that, first of all, I gotta thank an awesome guest, Mr. Tremaine Cook, the owner of Punches and Bunches at 1034 South 3rd Avenue here in Nashville. Great dude. We had a great time talking about Mike Tyson and the Jake Paul fight. And, of course, thinking about and dealing with the aftermath of Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. Well, on this week's Sign of the Times, Back in the day in 1980, a little bit before my time, there was a singer, a great singer, by the matter of fact. His name was Teddy Pendergrass. He released a song called Love TKO. In the song, he talks about and he recalls where he's taking the bumps and bruises caused by love. He goes on to say that he tried to control the love, but the love took control of me. Unquote. In 2024, those lyrics sound rather apropos. I keep seeing memes and posts saying this era of African-American male and female debate is over. African-American men and women need each other. And that is the type of love the ancient Grecians referred to. You know, they talked about pragma as a long-standing love. I think through all of the African-American male and female debate, this is truly what each one wants. Each gender wants that long-standing love. See, the type of love owner of Punches and Bunches, Tremaine Cook, displayed and is continuing to display for his fellow Nashvillians, see, that's a different type of love, which can only be described as agape love. See, his love for his fellow citizens is displayed with his youth academy, where boxing goes into schools and come into and students come into his gym. Either A, just to get a little more, you know, understanding of the sport, or B, to get a little bit of understanding on how to defend yourself. And even thus, and going forward, he even has adult classes that do the same. Keep doing your thing, Tremaine Cook, and we'll keep on patronizing and championing Punches and Bunches. For everyone here at the Surround Sound Podcast, I am R. Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. And in the words of the scholar Jerry Springer, be good to yourself and each other.
The way the brother walks is beautiful. The way he talks is beautiful. The way he makes love to me is beautiful. You know, that's my man.